In the name of Jesus, amen. Every once in a while, Jesus says the meanest things. Every once in a while, Jesus calls people names. He called King Herod a fox. He calls the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, facades covering the dead stuff just beneath the surface. And here Jesus calls his disciples, in fact, he calls us a flock of little faith. How dare he say such a thing about us? We, a people of little faith? Maybe those guys who take summers off from church attendance, they deserve it. Maybe those who darken the door of the sanctuary on Christmas and Easter and never in between, they deserve it. But us, we're here this morning, through thick and thin, when we want to be here, when we don't want to be here, when it's easy to be here, when it's really hard to be here. We're here. We're the faithful, the happy few, we band of brothers. Doesn't Jesus realize? Doesn't Jesus realize that there are a lot of other things that we could be doing this morning? There's the beach, Disneyland, our pillows, the newspaper. Remember those? Mimosas at lunch. But no, we've chosen to be here. So who's he think he is? Calling us a flock of little faith. Well, he's the Lord. And because he's the Lord, he's right. We are people of little faith. It's time we admit it, confess it, along with all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended him. Little faith people who have given our hearts over to our treasures, whatever we treasure, to the treasures of this life that promise to give us what we want, but hardly deliver on their promise. What do you want? What's most important to you? Where's your hope? What's your faith in? Not primarily, like my faith is primarily in Jesus, but completely. It's time we admit it. Say it right back to him. Jesus, you're right. A word about confession before we go on. If the world's taught you one thing, it's taught you that it's not safe to confess. Your lawyer wisely tells you to keep your mouth shut. And your insurance company does too. Just check that little card that they give you if you get into an accident. Because this world's not a safe place to confess. With confession comes penalties. You'll be taken advantage of. And in truth, we hate to confess to anything anyway. Admit something that's sadly true about us. Say, I did it. I do it. Fess up. We hate it because it's not a safe thing to do, nor do we want to even believe that it's true about us. And so we hide the truth about ourselves from each other. And maybe worst of all, we hide the truth about ourselves from ourselves. We don't want to admit it to others, and we dare not admit the truth to ourselves. But to confess when it comes to God in Christ, to confess is to simply say the same thing back to God that God has already said about us in the first place. And that means your confession doesn't reveal a thing to God that he doesn't already know. He already knows the truth about you. He just wants you to admit it, to lay claim to it as well. In the world, that's not a safe thing to do. But in here it is, because that of which we need to confess is already died for on Calvary's cross and buried in a tomb. That of which we need to confess has already been covered, paid for, redeemed, cleansed. And that's the most wonderful news of all given to those who confess. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our hearts should belong to God. And maybe you've even given your heart over to Jesus. Good. I'm glad. But confess the truth. Not all of it's been given over to Jesus. We've also given our hearts over to other things as well. To the things God's graciously given to us, entrusted to us. Things, financial wherewithal and all that that entails, intellect, skills, talents, health, you name it. Anything that makes all kinds of promises, but rather bring me, all kinds of anxiety, all kinds of worry. Me, my life, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to put on. And to get those things, I need money, and so money, because it's the common denomination we tend to use, becomes the biggest idol of all. The idol I give my heart to for the false promise of getting everything. But the idolatrous life of chasing after stuff, I must admit, a fun little escapade in the beginning, is an enslaving rat race of a life. And the stuff of this life ends up giving us no Sabbath rest. And so we are anxious. Will my retirement be sufficient? We worry. What if life changes? And it does change, doesn't it? We fret. What if my health fails? We agonize. How can I control all of the variables? So Jesus is right. He diagnoses us with pinpoint accuracy. Oh, you of little faith. Our faith in him has shriveled since the days of our youth when we were 3 years old in Miss Elizabeth's Sunday school class. Diminished from a lack of exercise. Gotten stiff from a lack of stretching. Atrophied from a lack of use. Faith has increased in the things of this world that can't deliver. And faith in the giver has shrunk. And that's the truth, the ugly truth about each of us. So now what? What's the prescription? What's the fix to this? What's the cure? Well, you can buy my book. Take my spiritual strengthening exercise program. Do a holy and blessed retreat with me. No. Jesus doesn't give us this, that, and the other thing to do. He simply talks. And his word, his powerful word, his saving word, lets his Father and ours grow large before our very eyes. Nothing for you to do, flock of little faith. Why, have you considered the ravens? They neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn. But what happens? God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O little one of little faith? Of course he will. Which of you, by being anxious, can add 1 hour to your span of life? Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Trust me, Jesus says. Trust your Father in heaven. He knows that you need all of this. We are worried. We are worried about food and clothing, reaping and storing. The time dedicated to all of that gobbles up most of our week and much of the sleepless hours we spend at night. Food and clothing, reaping and storing, day after every hard day. Jesus knows, and so he speaks, and his words let our Father grow large before our very eyes. Oh, little flock, you're so worried about all of this, so anxious, but about all the wrong things. Don't you know? Do not fear. Consider this. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Just let that sink in. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Food and clothing, reaping and storing on one hand, and the kingdom on the other. The kingdom of heaven. Jesus, and what he's won for you on Calvary's cross, dying, and his Easter Sunday rising, whose death won eternal life for you, whose blood cleanses you from all of your sins, every last one of them. Our little faith hearts aren't pumped up by spiritual juicing. No, Jesus has given you a new heart, a heart like his, a heart that clings to the Father and his gifts. He is your God. He is your Savior. So no wonder he says to you today, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, all of the stuff that you need and lots of stuff you don't even need will be added to you besides. The most important thing is already taken care of. Jesus has seen to it. In fact, you wouldn't even have to worry if you were actually courageous enough to be compassionate, to sell all of your possessions and give the cash to the poor. Now, I know your financial planner would totally disagree, but no, you wouldn't even need to worry, not even then. Jesus would still take care of you, somehow. He's chosen to take care of you by the means by which he's taking care of you right now. But he could take care of you in, oh, so many different ways. For the money bag of faith doesn't wear out. Not because of how massive or strong your faith is, but because your faith, whether it is gigantic or little, your faith clings to Jesus. And no thief can steal Jesus away from you, and no one will snatch you out of his hand. No moth can destroy Jesus. Jesus is your greatest treasure. He has the wounds to prove it. And today, he brings the reign of his kingdom to you. Sticks it in your ears. Gives you a heaping portion of it on your tongue. Delivers you. Rescues you. Counts you righteous. Even to little faith people, he comes with the forgiveness of your sins. With life. For salvation. So do not fear. Don't be anxious. Don't you know? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Believe it. Trust it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.